Hello out there and welcome to episode 66 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenk.
And I'm Will Smith drinking coffee.
Why would you instinctively go for your coffee?
I thought I had more time.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, we are competent trial lawyers in the areas of nursing home abuse and neglect in the state of Georgia, but not very competent co-hosts of this episode of the podcast. As this podcast goes to air, it is April 30th. We are, what is it, January, February, March, April? Yeah. So tomorrow is May Day, which is the People's Day, international, I guess that's an International Workers' Day. We celebrate that in September.
And you always watch a
documentary. Yeah. So last year I watched a documentary about I want to say pantsuit factory fire, but it's not the pantsuit factory fire. It's like Hillary Clinton. Like, what was this? I can't believe it. I'm not, my red credentials are going down the tubes right now.
And
the shirtwaist factory fire in New York.
Okay. I don't know.
That led to a lot of fire safety. But what's more important this week on Friday?
Yes.
Is May the 4th.
Yes. How did that holiday start?
Because it sounds like May the 4th be with you.
I know, but I understand why it caught on.
Right.
But I'd like to know who first,
My brother used to do that, like before the internet.
I think that everybody has a family member that used to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just isolated. I think it goes viral from various different points across the country.
Like, who was the first person to, like, say, hey, man, 420, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like, it's...
I always... 420 is April 20th. And my dad's birthday is April 19th. And Hitler is 20. Hitler is 420, right?
I think Hitler is 421.
Okay, because I just know that 420, Hitler's birthday, and my dad's birthday, not that I'm comparing my dad to Hitler in any way, other than he was a History Channel buff, I can never remember who's who.
Yeah, we'll have to have Gene. We need to look that up.
Gene, figure that out for us.
At any rate... One more thing, really quickly, that on the 6th is National Nurses Day.
Yay!
Celebrating all the nurses out there. Thank you, nurse. Like your brother, who was on the episode last week.
My brother, my father, lots of my friends. Yeah.
All nurses doing the Lord's work out there.
Yeah, DTLW. Doing the Lord's work.
Okay. I get you. He used to have a high school teacher that used to do that, but for things that there's no way that I could have known that. Like, right. go out into the hall with the hall pass and use the bathroom, and shorten that with the acronym. It's like, man, tell me.
Yeah,
there's no way that could be any faster.
Yeah.
Anyway, on today's podcast, we're just going to highlight a couple stories that we came across our desk in the past several weeks to a couple months, just highlighting issues with nursing and general care at skilled nursing facilities, long-term care facilities, nursing homes, that we wanted to make you, the public, aware of, but also just kind of talk about various aspects of nursing home care.
Yeah.
The first story comes to us from Lebanon, New Hampshire. If there's also a Lebanon, Tennessee.
I was about to say, I think there's multiple Lebanons.
A lot of Lebanons. We say Lebanon, like Lebanon.
Oh, okay. Of course you would.
Yeah.
Of course
Lebanon,
you would.
Because
in Georgia, we say Ponce de Leon instead of Ponce de Leon.
That's how you know you're from Atlanta.
Or down in Augusta, we would say Martinez. No, Martinez.
Martinez.
We'd say Martinez because you don't want to say Martinez.
Yeah. What are you? All right. So Lebanon, New Hampshire. Let's see. Karen McGregor, a licensed nursing assistant at Genesis Healthcare, has been charged with assaulting an 88-year-old patient. The report states that McGregor poured water over the head and face of a female patient and then placed clothing around the patient's head and neck to impede her breathing. So almost with the equivalent is of waterboarding somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Police found no serious injuries as a result of the alleged assault, but did find some bruising. After learning of the alleged assault, officials at the nursing home promptly reported it to police, says the police chief. Dottie Rutterman, the Lebanon Nursing Home's executive director, declined to comment with regard to this story, and instead directed questions to Genesis corporate spokesperson Gene Moore. Quote, Lebanon Center has a zero-tolerance policy with regard to abuse. When we receive a report of alleged abuse from any source, be it patient, family, or another employee, report the allegation to the appropriate authorities and begin an internal investigation. Lebanon Center does not hesitate to terminate any employee when we believe, after internal investigation, that the employee engaged in inappropriate behavior towards our residents. That individual nursing assistant is no longer an employee of that facility. Let's see, McGregor, the nursing assistant, was arrested, charged, and released on $7,500 bail. That facility itself has a 3-star rating on Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Nursing Home Compare website. So this isn't a matter of I'm just overworked, I'm going in 6 different places at once, I just want to get my job done.
No, it's sadistic.
It's very sadistic and malicious, and there's no excuse for it regardless. But... One of the things is like this, is that you have the concept of damages that we have to deal with as lawyers.
Yeah.
Is generally when you have a person that's been injured in a nursing home, there's the injury is what we would call damages. So what are the injuries in any particular case? So in one case, we might have the injury is actual death. Another injury might be a stay in ICU for 6 weeks because of an infection.
Yeah, the most common one for us. Let's say you get a bed sore, and that leads to an infection, and that kills somebody.
Right.
So that pain and suffering and the death itself
is
are damages.
Is what we would call the damages.
Yeah.
In this instance, the damages are not necessarily as clear-cut as a broken bone or bed sores or infection leads to death. You have bruises, and you have the literal pain and suffering that goes along with being essentially waterboarded.
Yeah, and what people need to understand is that there are various liabilities here. So somebody could say, because our clients ask us all the time, you know, what about punitive damages? Well, maybe you might be able to get punitive damages from an intentional tort against the person who did this. So the actual nurse or healthcare worker that did this, you might be able to get that. But they don't have any money, right? They don't have insurance.
When he says they, he means the employee.
The employee. So, you know, when you're looking to be compensated for damages, you're looking to hold Genesis Healthcare, which has over 500 nursing homes, responsible because they have insurance and their insurance can compensate you. I don't believe that they would be responsible for this type of intentional tort unless they had a history of, you know,
disregarding this particular employee's. But
there's no indication that they did.
Yeah,
but she just snapped.
But I think that the point I want to make is that oftentimes in these type of cases, not necessarily where there's an intentional act of maliciousness where the person's punching somebody or waterboarding somebody or choking somebody, but where there's general negligence or abuse that's not the person's not intending the result or not intending the injury that results, is when there's a breach in the standard of care, the nursing assistant or the nurse doesn't do what they're supposed to do, but it results in no bruising, no damages, nothing that you have to go to the hospital for.
I just filled it a case like this where they committed clear negligence. They allowed the woman to roll out of bed. She's immobile. She's non-ambulatory. She's supposed to have bed rolls up. They forgot to put a bed rail up. They were giving her a bed bath, and they rolled her out of bed. And by sheer fortuitousness, she didn't hurt herself in any way, no broken bones, no bruising, anything like that. And the family was upset that this happened. But I had to explain to them exactly what you're saying, which is, yeah, they committed negligence, but it's a three-legged stool. There's negligence, but now it needs to cause damages. If there is no causation, if there's no damages,
then it makes a lawsuit difficult. Now, that doesn't mean there's other things that can be done.
Oh, absolutely.
State agencies, but like I said, so in the cases like this, where you end up with no physical injuries, really, or no permanency in injuries. The nursing home says, well, you know, something bad happened in terms of breach of standard of care. The nursing assistant shouldn't have done this. But what's the actual end result harm is nothing. We get that type of defense put against us in many cases. In this case, this isn't just a close call, like Will mentioned about the woman rolling over and nothing happened. That's a close call. This, the damages in this case, is having to suffer through the actual crime, basically, as it occurred. Sure. Even though it did not result in permanent or even temporary physical pain.
Yeah.
It was mostly the physicality of the actual waterboarding and the emotional trauma that this individual probably went through. But again, that's probably what this nursing home is going to say about the case. They're going to say, you know, we'll bring on the lawsuit, but this person is just like they were yesterday.
And we have fired that individual.
Yeah.
We've taken prompt remedial action. We've done everything we can. We cannot be responsible for every action of one of our employees, which I understand and agree with. Like, yeah. You would never have people owning businesses if that were the case.
Yeah. So that's just an important concept from the story that I wanted to kind of... We've touched on this before, probably every maybe 6 or 7 episodes, about how Now, we're setting aside calling Department of Community Health. We're setting aside the ombudsman.
Oh, there are things that need to be done.
Yeah. But in terms of, I want to hire a lawyer.
Yeah.
There's going to be certain things that a lawyer is going to be, there needs to be present in order to make a viable lawsuit. And it's that three-legged stool. There has to be some type of breach, meaning of the standard of care, meaning did the nursing home do or not do something they should have done?
Negligence
that results.
Causation.
In an injury.
Yeah.
Damages.
Right.
Had that three-legged stool. And so, again, what I like to say is that if there's been a breach that has caused no damages, then you have what's called a close call. Mm-hmm. That oh my goodness, I'm glad this happened this way,
yeah,
because it did not result in an injury. And in those instances, I think that the tool that you as a loved one of a resident that has suffered a close call is to call the ombudsman.
To call the
CMS.
We are not the only remedy. That's what I tell people all the time, is that you have multiple different remedies. For us to be the remedy, these three things must be there.
Yeah.
And people get frustrated with that because they'll say, well, am I supposed to just let this happen? You can't help me. And they get frustrated here in Georgia because, and this is something I want to get off on a tangent here, but this is something I wanted to bring up, that in Georgia we're having an issue with Department of Community Health. This just came out on Fox 5 News here this week, we don't have a good system for registering these complaints. That the news investigative team called DCH, called the hotline, tried to fill out the online forms, and found out that they're non-responsive. So it's frustrating because the other legal remedies don't work. But at the end of the day, there's not much that we can do about that. It's just a frustrating act of a part of living in this society, I guess.
That's right. And so another thing that I wanted to highlight from this particular story is that this particular nursing home, in my opinion, setting aside whether we're going to assume, we're going to give the nursing home the benefit of the doubt that they did not have actual or constructive knowledge that this individual had a propensity to be violent. We're going to assume that they did everything they were supposed to do in terms of background checks in the hiring process. But that they did the right thing, both morally and I would say legally, by immediately calling the police of their own accord.
Yeah.
They alerted the police and they participated in the investigation. So that's tip of the hat in terms of that. Now, of course, if it comes out that they knew that this person was dangerous, then, you know, still though, I think that we should, you know, give a tip of the hat to that.
And this is a nursing home that it's one of the larger, Genesis is one of the larger nursing homes in the nation. And what is constantly happening, because you'll hear more and more cases against the same nursing homes, Pruitt Health, you know, Genesis. And the reason for that is that a lot of these smaller nursing home companies are going out of business and they're being absorbed by the larger ones. And when you have 500, and I am not taken up for Genesis, because I still think that there is a corporate climate that lends itself towards negligence in a lot of these places. But when you have 500 nursing homes, one of them is going to have incidents. One of them is going to have, you know, negligence occur.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Of course, at the end of the day, I think that that could all be resolved by somebody at the upper level going, hey, we're a corporation, but we're a corporation that owes a duty to its clients more so than we do the shareholders, which is probably never going to happen.
Yeah. So, and what's the status of Genesis right now? They're going bankrupt or they're restructuring?
No, there were talks. The last that I heard is that there were talks about restructuring. I think with a lot of these big, you know, healthcare providers, that there's always talks of restructuring. But I know that there was some heated talks because we have a couple cases against them now.
Yeah. Couple of potential claims.
Yeah. And here's something I totally forgot about while we were talking about this last case before we move on to the next one, is that these are both in Lebanon.
You're referring to the next case that I'm talking about,
which is in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Yeah. Did you do this intentionally?
We have staff that put these stories together for us. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's like some type of news alert for Lebanon. I feel like this is even the first time that we've talked about Lebanon. That's a lot of Lebanons.
Lebanons, yeah.
Lebanon.
Okay.
Lebanon was, and I have to say, because of this, like, I feel like I've already talked about this, but Lebanon was our rival high school.
Yeah,
in Mount Juliet. I know we've mentioned this before.
Well, then I expect you to say Albany, and from now on.
Oh, instead of Albany?
Yeah.
Okay. Lebanon. That's Lebanon.
Lebanon is how Manel pronounces it.
Who's Manel?
Manel Shahimi, one of our very close friends and fellow attorneys, who is from the Lebanon.
The country. Yes. All right. So
anyway.
All right, moving on to Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
An unnamed nursing assistant of the Cedar Haven Nursing Home in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, was fired after an investigation revealed she taunted and video recorded a resident with dementia. Two eyewitnesses reported hearing the employee repeatedly tell the resident that her mother was dead. Then the employee used her cell phone to take a video of the agitated resident. The incident occurred 2 months before the nurses' strike began at Cedar Haven, which is still going on. And as of the time that we were filming this, I think that strike actually, I don't know if it's dissolved, but I think they just hired either scabs or replaced a lot of the staff, because I think that nursing home is still open, mm-hmm. but some of the people are still on strike.
Yes.
Okay. But at any rate, let's see. Two eyewitnesses reported that an employee also told the resident, that the mother was dead, and commented about how funny the resident's face was when she was told that. The victim of the taunting had a diagnosis of dementia and depression. The nurse's aide at first denied making the video, but it admitted it after learning of the two witnesses that would corroborate the family story.
This is a good story to go back to your point about damages too. Like,
yeah,
what are the damages in a case like this?
This is emotional abuse. I mean, so in the law, there's a concept called the eggshell plaintiff rule. And what that means is that you have to take your plaintiff as you get him. So, it's most often we talk about it in the context of a motor vehicle wreck. So if you have an individual that, what is their bones easily break. Let's say your right arm has been broken before.
Yeah.
And you rear end that individual and they break their arm. If you would have rear ended a normal healthy person, it wouldn't have broken their arm. You're still responsible for that person's broken arm because you have to take the plaintiff
That you're given. So if you rear-end Mr. Glass versus, you know, Superman, that's just what happens.
That's just what happens to you. You have to take them as they get. So in this instance, the consequences of agitating an individual with dementia or depression is more dire and more grave than if you were agitating a 30-year-old person that's in perfect mental health. So this individual could have gotten up and maybe assaulted somebody else. They could have run and committed elopement because they were scared. There's a lot of possible consequences of this behavior that this nursing aide probably never thought of, because they were she was taunting a person with dementia and depression, and she would have been responsible for it because that is a reasonable consequence of taunting somebody that has those conditions. So emotional abuse like this is nursing home abuse. It's just the same as if that individual had waterboarded this lady or the nurse's aide had broken her arm on purpose. Emotional abuse has its own particular damages that could be assessed. Yeah. It's sad.
They're still difficult though.
Yeah.
It isn't a suggestion that there are no damages here, but the further that you get away from physical damages like death or a physical injury, they become difficult, especially in Georgia. Georgia is not a fan of emotional damages. They're hard to prove. Causation in this case is going to be a fight. I mean, I understand what the arguments are for causation, but I can also see the arguments against it.
Yeah.
These are harder damage arguments to make.
So one of the things that I want to talk about with this particular article is that we had discussed, I think, a few months ago about new CMS regulations with regard to privacy rights of the residents. And I think this highlights an important component of that, is that when your loved one is a resident of a nursing home, they have a right to privacy, that a nursing aide can't just whip out their cell phone and begin recording them. That's against the law. It's against CMS regulations, and this highlights why. And I think that sometimes it's even if it's benign, these people, they can't consent to have their picture taken.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I actually fielded another case 3 or 4 years ago where the woman's mother passed away, and it was discovered that a CNA had videotaped her the day before doing something somewhat innocuous. The nursing home was trying to get the woman to sign some sort of agreement that says, we agree to delete this video and settle this case. We apologize for this matter. And I guess the point that I made to her, I mean, they eventually did that and self-reported themselves to DCH. Mm-hmm. But the point that I was making was to the nursing home at the time, look, it doesn't matter if they weren't doing anything wrong. Like, it doesn't matter if the videotape was just her interacting with other residents or something like that. This is their home. They have a right to privacy there, right? I don't believe that they give that up in the same way they would if they were in the streets. And one of the residents' rights is a right to privacy and a right to dignity.
We should do an episode about HIPAA violations with regard to videos and photographs.
And that might be something that we could have my brother Clay on. He's a nurse. Because
I had him on last week.
Because when I was a CNA, I don't think that you could take videos with cell phones. And that, I just don't remember that ever being a problem. As a matter of fact, I'm positive. When I was a CNA, you couldn't even send pictures on cell phones. You couldn't take pictures. You couldn't send pictures.
You could only play Snake.
Yeah, I think you could play Snake. It was hard to send text messages, but I don't remember... I don't remember that being an issue, but it's got to be a huge issue now because people are always Snapchatting. They're always, you know, Instagramming. They're always putting stuff on social media. It's becoming an issue.
Yeah, so it's something that I'll be aware of when you have a loved one in a nursing home. Just be like, hey, you know, do you have any policies and procedures that are maybe more strict than the CMS regulations with regard to what your nursing staff can do in terms of videotaping and taking photographs while in the facility?
And that's a good point that you make too, is the whole strictness further concept. Is that when a governing body, it could be, you know, the federal government and the United States Constitution, it could be a regulatory body like CMS, they set the floor, right? So in other words, a nursing home has to at least meet that threshold. They have to at least meet that standard. It doesn't mean that they can't make an even stricter policy. They can't make a less strict one. But that would be something that you should ask. I mean, you know, what are your policies? Do your policies reflect just the bare minimum that CMS sets out? Or do you have stricter policies?
So in the last few minutes that we have, I want to talk about this next case coming out of Bend, Oregon. The family of a 95-year-old Wilmetta June Cornell, who died after being struck by a laundry cart, is suing operators of Aspen Ridge Retirement Community for $2.3 million. The suit claims that Aspen Ridge was negligent in being aware of Miss Cornell, who was using her walker to make her way down the hallway when she was struck from behind by an employee. The employee has not been named, and the facility is surprised at the suit, stating that the incident was an accident. Cornell was 95 and had lived at Aspen Ridge for just over 4 years at the time of her fall. On September 10th, she was using her walker to make her way down a hallway at the facility when she was struck by a laundry cart pushed by an employee. She fell on her left side, reported pain in her left hip and leg. They helped her to her place, but after about 3 hours, she was in extreme pain and unable to get out of the chair. Ambulance took her to the hospital. 2 days later, she underwent surgery, and then after the surgery, she was unresponsive and then died a few hours later. The real issue that I wanted to talk about in this case, let me tell you this. So the Aspen Ridge Retirement Community Executive Director issued a written statement that he was, Brian Carnahan, right, said that he was surprised and disappointed to learn of the lawsuit, not the death, to learn of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Quote, sometimes accidents and falls happen despite the diligent efforts of caring and compassionate staff members. Okay, so the issue that I wanted to bring up in the last couple minutes is the concept of what an accident is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at least in Georgia and particularly the South, we're at least the plaintiff's lawyers are trying to move to just have the word accident eliminated from court proceedings, because there's a I don't want to say consensus, but there's a portion of society that believes that the word accident means something that could not have been avoided.
Yeah, there's a connotation to it of that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So and I think that's very important. I mean, every act you know, should be judged in accordance to what a reasonable person could have done to prevent that injury, that action to have taken place. So saying that something was an accident is a way for the defense, particularly in this instance, to say, well, there's nothing reasonable that we could have done. We can be unreasonable and say we can have no laundry carts, or we can say that we have to confine everybody to their rooms. That would be unreasonable, and or that would make it, you know, where the injury would not have resulted. But that just struck me in that article that, well, this is just a freak accident. We hear that
an unfortunate accident all the time,
and it's like, no, this is not, you know, no, this is a negligent action, because a reasonable person would not have been pushing a laundry cart with that speed, carrying that much weight without looking where they were going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was not unfortunate.
Yeah, so. And I just looked up the definition, too, just out of curiosity, and it's the very first part of the definition was an unfortunate incident.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case here.
It is a connotation that there is no fault.
Yeah.
There's no fault, and that's not true.
Yeah.
In many of these cases, it's either negligent behavior or it's not negligent behavior.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I don't know. That's just struck me. I hate that. Like that's bad PR for this nursing home to say we're disappointed that a lawsuit was filed against us.
Yeah, and you know, I can understand that at a very basic level, the employee pushing the laundry cart accidentally hit her, right?
Meaning without the intent of
without the
her.
Intent. The problem is that this nursing home didn't have procedures in place or didn't have proper training in place to ensure that that type of accident didn't happen. So I wouldn't be suing the lady who's pushing the laundry cart. I would be suing the nursing home because you didn't make sure that this didn't happen. It's not unreasonable for this nursing home to conceive that there's going to be people on walkers walking around the halls and people pushing laundry carts at the same time. It's your responsibility as a nursing home provider to think of this scenario, which I'm sure happens on a daily basis, and go, all right, guys, get the laundry department in here. We want to make sure that you understand this is what you do when you're pushing something and you may not be able to see what's in front of you, right? They didn't do that. So that's negligence. That's not an accident.
What is not an accident is that we have reached the conclusion of this episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, episode 66, that is. You have two opportunities to consume each and every episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. You can either watch us at our website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com, or check out our YouTube channel, or you can download the audio or MP3 on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, Podpuppy, Podcast Hounds, wherever you get your podcasts from. We're very happy and elated that you have made it this far into the broadcast. And with that, we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and feel free to leave us some feedback. And for more information about the topics discussed in this episode, check out the show website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. That's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.